In our Trump shooting analysis, we have detailed video that just surfaced showing dash cam of the Trump shooter before he entered the property. And we are also going to look into what we think is now a possible third shooter that is involved in this 16-second time window where all of the shooting melee took place. We also have new video of the Secret Service Hercules 2 counter-sniper teams in action just minutes before the shooting. We're also going to look through the Beaver County Police initial report to try to determine what went wrong. Here is the dash cam video reported to be the shooting suspect.
Clear as day, and you're just like, yeah, I think we're rolling the video right now. You can see him walking just as we come up here.
Yeah.
And he's just walking kind of casually into the event.
And then if we look up close, it looks like he's walking right in front of the AGR sign and up the hill. Okay, so let's take a look at where that was in relation to the rally. Remember, the rally was taking place here. And so the witness was driving right here with his car. And the shooter was seen right here, walking right in front of the AGR sign. See, so, yeah, he was driving right up the road here. And here's the Brinkles Farms greenhouses across the street, just like we saw in the video. And he was walking right by the AGR sign here. Now, we don't know what time of day this was, but it must have been well in advance of the rally starting, because this witness here had parked. They ended up taking their video, and so the witness ended up being way up here along the fence line, along with all of the other witnesses that got that shaky video when they saw the shooter up on the roof. This same witness is the same guy who shot that now famous video with the photograph of the shooter turning the gun towards the crowd now, just before he got shot by the Secret Service sniper.
The gunman's face looking directly at them. And why this is significant
is
because people are now seeing.
So I'm going to talk about this shot number 6 that we think the police officer shot at the shooter, which caused him just enough time to be distracted and look up at the crowd until the Secret Service sniper was able to take him out. So here's something I bet you didn't know. Dave Stewart, the guy that now shot that famous video of the cops that were searching for the shooter and trying to engage him just before the shooting broke out. Now, we've also solved the mystery of who that guy was running across the grass there with his red shirt on. A lot of people had brought that up in video saying, oh, he must be in on it. He must know something because he's running to safety. Well, of course he was, because he's identified himself, and it is actually Dave Stewart, the guy that shot that now famous video that I showed you the other night of him in that being engaged by all the police down at the bottom of the parking lot.
Make yourself small, bro. I don't know what's going on.
And so he was running behind the tree because he knew that the cops were right on top of this guy and looking for him. And that red shirt is likely to be the shirt that they wear at Sheetz. Now, Dave has said in one of his other videos that he's an employee of the Sheetz convenience store, which I believe is the one a couple of blocks away. And so he had come over there to just, you know, video the whole event. So here's the crux of it, because earlier in the week, the Washington Post had posted this story, and it said that Richard Goldinger up here, he's the district attorney for Butler County, confirmed that a member of the county's emergency services unit, similar to a SWAT team, fired a shot at Crooks that prompted a reaction from the gunman. It says he believed the officer's shot caused Crooks to stop firing his weapon, buying the Secret Service sniper's time to kill the gunman, which they pretty much did about 10 seconds later. And another person familiar with the investigation confirmed that the Butler officer shot at Crooks before the Secret Service countersniper fired. So do you see how this fills in the blanks for us? Because I had from the beginning was kind of thinking, this sounds like the Secret Service. I thought Secret Service had fired 2 shots because that shot from the officer sounds suppressed as well. So I knew that 9th shot could not have been from the shooter. Because it didn't, that one definitely didn't sound the same. It was a suppressed round. So I made this slide here because we want to take a look at this visually to see exactly what is happening. So I made these color zones here for you to make it easier to see visually what is happening. The first 3 shots here are the bad guy. And then a few seconds later, he does the second burst of 5 shots here. So that's shots 4 through 8. as I have it labeled here. The next shot, which is almost immediately after it, that a lot of people didn't know happened, like, for example, here on this earlier TMZ video, because it was lost in the mix of, like, the ladies screaming and everything. But it was there, and that is the one that we are saying now came from the ESU SWAT team. He is a local cop positioned over by the tent where Trump was first walking out, as I am showing you. And then about 10 seconds after the final shot here is when the Secret Service Hercules 1 counter sniper came in and fired that one neutralizing shot that took down the shooter, the bad guy. Now check this out. This is about 30 minutes or so before the shooting. And then this piece of video here was shot at about 5:40. And so it shows the Secret Service Hercules sniper team there on top of the red barn. And they look pretty casual. They don't seem to be too concerned about anybody at this point in time. And as he checks in on them a few minutes later, they're just, you know, casually checking things out through their binoculars, checking out different parts of the area, looking for suspicious people. So again, they don't look so alarmed. And there's the local police SWAT team right there. And several minutes later, it's now probably about 5:56 p.m., about 15 or so minutes before the shooting. And the Secret Service snipers are just kind of casually checking out the area, but now they're looking towards the crowd. Now look at this scene here as the Hercules 2 team is just checking out the crowd with their binoculars. And then right down below them, you're going to see a whole bunch of the Butler County officers there right by that tent. And one of those officers is likely the one with his long rifle that shot at the shooter and made that shot number 9 that caused the shooter to stop what he was doing and point his gun at the crowd next to him that were yelling, "He's on the roof."
Yeah, look, there he is.
Because we have millions and millions officer. Of people in our country that shouldn't be here.
He's on the roof! He's right!
We have people that
right
should
here.
Not be here.
Right on the roof!
It's much
he's
tougher than
up
it,
now.
It happened.
And then, of course, 30 seconds later, the shooting starts. Okay, so I'm going to start the TMZ. Secret Service sniper will be right here.
He's turning this way. Be careful, guys.
So that was very clear. So what was not so clear then was you could barely hear it a little bit here, the shot that was fired by the SWAT officer. But it just wasn't all that clear there because there was so much going wrong, because there was so much going on there. And that lady who kept yelling, "Russ, Russ, Russ," man, do I feel bad for Russ. We're going to mute the TMZ down below, and now we're going to play the one from Dave Stewart's video over here. Secret Service will be right here. Their shot's coming up. Very crystal clear. Now, did you notice something in the audio there that was different about Dave Stewart's video than all of the others? He has the distinction of being probably closer to the shooter than anybody who we have a witness video from so far. In fact, he was probably maybe 100 feet at most away from him, but the bullets whizzed right over his head because Dave was hiding behind the tree when the shooting broke out. The first thing I noticed about David's video is that his audio was crystal clear on all of the shots. And the shooter's first 3 shots sounded exactly like the second 5 shots. And I had explained to you folks before, one possible reason was because all of these other people were running and their cameras were changing direction and they're all going like this and everything. But and so that's why I said, well, the first 3 shots could sound different than the second 5 shots. But Dave Stewart's video here shows it very clearly. To me, they sound exactly the same. And not only is it so clear, you can actually very crisply and distinctly hear the police officer fire that shot at the shooter, which actually stopped the shooter. It didn't hit him, but it got his attention. He was like, whoa, what's going on? And then he made the mistake of turning his gun towards the crowd now like this. And as soon as he did that, that's when the Secret Service Hercules 1 sniper team, poof, got him right in the head and took him down instantly. Okay, so what I wanted to do is step through this report. Some of you may have seen this. This was released about a week ago. This is the Beaver County SWAT team's sort of after action. So they're sort of doing a post-mortem here as to what happened. And so this was the materials provided by the Butler Command. So it's showing all of the different police snipers where they were supposed to be. Here's your Hercules snipers on top of the two red barns. Now, a lot of people did not know, because it wasn't really advertised and they didn't receive much press about it. There was two other teams over here. The Washington County had their SWAT team positioned in this building, and then Butler ESU had more guys in this building here as well. And they had hazmat here just in case some kind of gas might have been released. And they had more county police over here, Butler County. And as we're going to show you in a bit, they had, Dave Stewart's video showed a bunch of police and SWAT guys gathered around right here. Here's the scene as Trump was walking out on the catwalk. And so this was more materials provided by the Butler Command. And they basically broke this area up into seven different zones here. And this is the crowd sector right here, Sector 1. Sector 2 seems to be, this is the highest protected area because this is the barns right here. And the all the white tents that were set up in a row were right along here. And this is where Trump was waiting in the sort of the waiting area before they brought him out on the stage here, came into this area. And it's interesting to note here that of course, the AGR building isn't even in their radar. And that aligns with what the Secret Service had said at the previous congressional meetings last week, was that that was outside of their area, that they were focused on this as being their secure area, and they left this area up here to local law enforcement. Okay, so then they have the timeline, and it basically just shows when all the police have to be there, when the snipers were to be in place. On the timeline here, it shows the suspect was first observed at 1710. He walked by a window, and he probably had walked by one of these windows where they had a sniper here looking out one of these with his rifle, and they had another sniper here looking out that window with his rifle, and they had another one, I believe it was here. And so he caught somebody's attention because there weren't supposed to be that many people in this area at all. And so they likely saw him and go, who's this guy? What's he doing here? Time that he was actually spotted at 4:26 p.m. when one of the officers got off, his shift had ended, and he was out in that packed parking lot and spotted the shooter there. And he even provided a photograph, at least I think it came from him. This is what was provided by the police later on. And on this photograph here, the officer has the picnic table circled in red, and the door that he came out of the building when he got off of shift is in purple. So, of course, at 7:14, they took that famous picture of the suspect. At 17:28, they took the picture of the bike by the tree there with the backpack. Now, it's important to point out here, folks, I still don't know whether that was his bike and his backpack or not. It was suspicious. So they took a picture of it, and everybody seems to be joining the two and somehow thinking it's his property. And even up on the roof afterwards, you could hear some of the cops talking about, yeah, we have a bike over here too. That doesn't 100% point to the fact that it was his bike, especially since the police says he bought his car. Now, he could have bought his car and the bike. We simply don't know. But don't rely 100% and hinge everything going forward on the fact that you think that that bike is his, because we still don't know. Then, of course, at 17:32, he was spotted looking at his phone, checking out news feeds and rangefinder, and it was confirmed through monoculars. And then here at 17:34, you could see that's when the sniper texts the Butler team. He sent out that group text here at 17:38 about the subject. And then at 17:40, the response text was to call into command. And then at 1741, it was called into command by, it doesn't say who, about the suspect. And then 4 Sierra 2 to the command, he says, communicated description and rangefinder lurking around the AGR building. At 1745, the text was sent to the ESU group command about the subject and to relay to command. At 1749, the communication to, doesn't say who, regarding the suspect in pictures. 1755, now remember, this is 15 minutes approximately before the shooting at this point. Somebody there acknowledges receipt and passing it on to command. Then at 1759, this is 5:59 p.m., somebody sent to somebody, they sent a command asking for direction of travel. So at this point, they've lost sight of him. They don't know where he is. At 6 o'clock, somebody is asking for direction of travel. Again, unsure of the direction of the travel, so they're still looking for him. At 18:05, suspect at picnic tables and moving in the direction of sheets. He has a backpack. This right here is at 6:05 p.m. See? So it says approximate suspect at picnic tables and moving in the direction of sheets. He has a backpack, and that was communicated by radio. And then, of course, that's misspelled here, but it says the butler or sniper stayed in place at the original position. Now, let me show you what they're talking about, sheets. There is a picnic table somewhere here. I've showed it to you on previous videos. So was he seen there and then went in the direction of sheets? Or was he on the picnic tables that are over here and went in the direction of sheets? If you back up from this whole AGR complex, this is the sheets over here. It's a convenience store. Okay. So it looks pretty big. It looks like one of those giant Wawa convenience stores and probably very similar to one of my favorite convenience stores out of Texas, Buc-ee's. And man, if you've never been to a Buc-ee's, you'd better get to one because they are pretty cool. A convenience store the size of Costco. All right. So we don't know if he actually went to sheets. He probably didn't because he's only got about 3 minutes. My guess is if they saw him at this picnic tables over here and he went this way towards sheets, he was probably just walking around the building to come back around here to get on to the shed over here that I showed you in the video the other night. Step onto the AC, step onto the shed, you're on the roof, and then the video captures him running like this around over to his final position, or it captured him getting on the roof here, and he took this little section here over to this white roof and then was running across the roof here and then over to here. So we're still unsure of the path. The third possibility is that he hopped on this air conditioner here, shimmied up the horizontal rungs that are on the side of the building there, and then ran across this part of the roof as we had seen in that now famous video this week. So your guess is as good as anyone's. So at 18:06 then is when they said so-and-so goes downstairs. This was probably Officer Greg Nickel, as we know by now. Went downstairs of Building 1 to meet patrol to let them know the suspect is around the building on the side of the fairgrounds. So that's when we saw that marked and unmarked vehicle pulling together on the video from Dave Stewart that I showed you the other day, where he captured on film the cops at the bottom of the building looking for him. So then it says 18:12 shots fired. I believe they were actually fired at 18:11. Now, I understand this is likely a very preliminary report that the county had done early on in this investigation, so it may not have all of the facts, and they haven't interviewed everybody yet. But what I was wondering is, why didn't their timeline mention the two cops that hoisted each other up to the building there, where the one cop hoisted one up and he leaned up over the roof and saw the shooter and the shooter pointed the gun at him? That was certainly an important enough event to put that in this timeline. I don't know why it wasn't there. And I still want to see the body cam from those two officers. Okay, unknown time, shooter down. 1823 here, it says these two guys climb the black tactical ladder to the left of building 3 door access to roof. So these guys get up on the roof, and then 2 minutes later, he's pronounced dead by, I'm going to assume this was Michelle, because as we saw in one of the other videos of the body cams, you could see the officer kept referring to Michelle as the paramedic lady there in front of him.
Go, Michelle!
And by the way, we've heard reports that she is married to Officer Greg Nickel, the one who sent out the picture of the shooter. So the DOA photo was sent by, whoever took the picture. They were sent to two different entities. Then in 1835, sends confirmation picture to command to confirm dead. 1846, from Washington County, ESU, pats a suspect down and finds the cell phone device. That's when they found, like, the transmitter and all that. And I think that's when they found the bloody receipt from Home Depot showing that he bought the five-foot ladder. They found his cell phone and the remote. They were found in his right pocket. And the device and face was sent by so-and-so. We don't know where. So then they did a facial recognition photo on him as well. Now, moving on here, as we look at the whole scene, a closer look. See, there's where the crowd control fence was. Now here, the sniper, which I believe would have been Greg Nickel if he was right here in this position, this was their supposed line of sight. Because remember, they're back in that window. He's probably 3 feet back from the window. Screens are on. They were told to remain in stealth mode so that they couldn't be seen. Okay, and so the other Butler County sniper would have been in this other window. But there's confusion until we hear an official interview with these guys about which rooms they were in, that they were supposedly going from window to window to follow this guy and track him around. See, here's the ESU building. And of course, my initial thought was correct from last week when I said that this was the wall here, because there was another retaining wall over here. This was the wall where he was spotted and photographed by the sniper up in the window, because he was right below his window at 1710. See, there's the timestamp up there. And then, of course, there's the two pictures that were taken of him. There's the photo of the bike and the bike pack. And we still don't know whether that's the shooter's bike or not. And when you look at overall everything at 1732, see, there's where the bike and the bike pack were in relation to everything else. And we showed you that the other day on that video from Spa Guy, if you remember. He had that drone video. The drone flew up here, showed us where the bike was, showed us the picnic table here, and then flew over here to show us the shed that the guy likely climbed up, and then showed us the path along the roof here where he could have gone to the final. That's where the shooter ended up at, right there on building one. Okay, and so right here at 6.05 p.m., this is, as it turns out, picnic table where the suspect was noted. And so he was likely noted by somebody peeking out this window. That would be my guess. And he was, the direction of the travel was this way. And so he maybe went this way. Maybe he went to go get his backpack out of the car. We simply don't know. This does not look like the backpack that was on the roof. So this is why I don't think that any of this had anything to do with the shooter. So now, between 1806 and 1811, there was uniformed patrol people over here, and then the unmarked and the marked cars were over here, and they started to drive in to come down here. And then at what they called 1812 is when the shots rang out, and the suspect was right here. And then this is that chain link fence along which Dave Stewart was at. Dave Stewart was pretty much filming along this area here. Make sure you check out these other two videos that I've uploaded over the last couple of days here. These are the fresh new videos for you to check out. If you haven't been here on this channel, you want to binge watch those. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next one.